I have over 10,000 photos on our computer at home, and I don't know who or what, but I have an idea. If you could jog for Jesus, you could certainly bike for Jesus, okay? So, speaking of that song that we sang, Oh Beautiful One I Love, well, my wife is at home, and she thinks she has the flu. I didn't know. Had I known, I might not have kissed her before. But I did kiss her. But she still got the flu. So is she kissing somebody else? I don't know. But she is in bed looking at me live, so hi. Ti voglio bene. Chairete. Chairete. Rejoice. And is our, where's our drummer? Ed? Oh, yes. Okay. Now, I've often heard, and I've fought against this in recent decades, that the youth, right, the youth are the future of the church. False. The youth are right here now. The youth are the present of the church. Please do not ignore them in your churches, in your communities. They're here now with you, with us. So, and by the way, the youth, make a big deal of that. Tell them, you're here. Not the future of the church, now, here. And some of the youth apparently had some questions about this word I threw out on purpose without much explanation, postmodernity or postmodernism. So I just wanted to address that, and I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. It's a big fancy word. Post means after, modernity means modern, and I have a stack of about 50 to 60 books in my office that shows what I've been researching about this, and I could tell you in one brief report what I know about postmodernity. The scholars who use this and talk about this and research about postmodernity have no idea what it is. No one has agreed on a definition, but what's sort of agreed upon by these scholars is that actually what I was talking about in the very first day, on that day and the following days, that the foundations that we thought were solid have been shaking. We found out that the earth was moving. Remember that, Galileo? Yeah. Earth is moving. The universe is moving. And so we're less certain than we used to be, right? So the word sort of might be a mood grabber or a clue for understanding postmodernism. Sort of. Things are sort of. Things aren't but question marks. A comedian noted that the word sort of is just a filler when we talk. Yeah, you know, I like that sort of. And it doesn't mean much, but sometimes it means quite a bit. It's a boy, sort of. So it depends on how you use that, and postmodernity is like that too. It depends on how you use that. You're going to live, sort of. So Galileo has taught us that we're moving. The whole earth is moving. In fact, biology has taught us we're bodies, and I'll cover that in just a minute, just full of motion, that power that is within us. We don't even recognize and can't see. And so we are in a world, postmodern world, full of questions. In fact, a postmodern life that is full of questions, lots of questions. And I have some questions for these remaining 2 days. Now, I have a joke in honor of my three children, Sophia, Laura, and Christian. They're out there somewhere. So, ready for this joke? Oh, there you are. Let's see how fast your minds are working this morning. This is just a warm-up. So, two drums and a cymbal fell off a cliff. No? Let's try that again. Two drums and a cymbal fell off a cliff. No, you're not getting that. Okay. It took Sophia quite a few days. You got it now? Two drums and a cymbal fell off a cliff. Ba-doom. Thank you. Yes. Again, very thin books. This is probably one of the better introductions, very, very thin, and a very friendly introduction to the world we live in. And it's very different from the 20th century, and it's very different from the 19th century and all the preceding centuries. So that's why I have that up there. And I gave you these movies more in line with what I've been exploring in a very brief way with regard to Exodus and Deuteronomy about how God's, well, we'll get to that tomorrow, God's a moving God and God's people are forced to move, even if we don't go anywhere, or it seems. And these are movies that help us understand what it means to be baptized and be on the move. Right? We don't feel changes usually, not drastically, but there are trickles of things that happen. And actually, a word like that might help you for some of the adults who've read in theology. But these are movies I would recommend your churches to see, and some of them are sort of adult movies, so R-rated. You might want to preview them. But very good discussion starters for adult church school, Bible studies, prayer cells, to discuss about ourselves. Who are we, and how can we learn from these to gain new language of speaking about our baptism and baptismal identity? So, the other night we were invited to think a little bit about creation and environment, and I got to thinking, well, I do want to contribute a little something to that, because, of course, Genesis starts with all of this. God created. That's one of the first things we find out. So I thought maybe some questions to keep you busy today, especially those young. If you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant, what do you do? That's post-modernity, yeah? I have my moments of vegetarianism. Oh, stay away. I was told not to go there. Not because of you. You're okay. Apparently there's some force field there. If you're vegetarian, should you eat animal crackers? Yeah? The postmodern world is full of questions. Full of questions. And here's something to throw out for the junior highs. Asia. Thank you. Are you feeling Asian today? Some of you have Asian blood, you don't even know it. In fact, most people are a little Korean, you just don't know it. Here we are. I'm going to condense for you what's going to happen today and tomorrow, because, and I tried to explain this to Reverend Dawson, I've been trying to condense everything into 5 days of 25 minutes, and that was very, very difficult, and I've been crunching, and haven't been too successful here and there, but I hope you've been following me along and moving with these kind of uncertain loose ends, and we're headed here again, where we started, what it means to be a people of God who are called by God to move and be sent. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this that we started yesterday in Romans 6. The mission of our becoming what we're declared to be in Christ is at the same time impossible, but actually quite possible. And today we'll focus a little bit about on knowledge. So today we're going to talk about truth, these themes of truth, knowledge, and freedom. And tomorrow we're going to move on from freedom then to the life of freedom in Christ, the life of the church, your life, my life, and how I hope to give you some things here and there that might help you recast your way of understanding what we're going to do and how we're going to live as Christians. Now, I have some homework for you. It's a big one. In fact, this is a homework for the rest of your life. I give this to my college students as they graduate. Now that you've read and studied for 4 years, here's the question. Who are you? And I teach them, all knowledge is self-knowledge. I didn't get this from myself. Actually, Calvin, remember 500 years, talks about this. All knowledge is self-knowledge. Everything that you learn about out there is really learning about you, how you see. Remember what I said before? It's not about the outside world and changing it so much as, I know we want to change the world, that's not a bad thing, if you're going in a good direction, but it's really about this inner life, dynamic power that is within us, that God is working within us, that we recognize first, then cultivate and be nourished in Christ. That, in fact, does change the world. But we usually put the cart before the horse. And prayer life is important here. I used to pray when I was younger to make that person better, nicer, right? This thing fixed and that thing better and so forth. And it turns out that prayer was really about me. It's sort of like putting on blue glasses. You put blue glasses on and things start to look bluish. The world hasn't turned blue. No, you start to see the world bluish. So you pray for humility and that you gain thanksgiving as your posture to life, in life, hope, faith, love, these kinds of things. And as you pray for others, you'll see that your prayer life changes you. You. And because you change, the whole world changes. Anyway, that's another topic. So the question for you and for the rest of our lives together is, who are we? Who are you? I would like for you, I'm not going to ask all of you, too many of you out there, to have an answer, at least a working answer by tomorrow. Who are you? And what are you? Right? And you might have lots of answers, not just one. You might have 10, 20, 30. It's okay. And the accompanying questions of, how free do you feel? How free are you? Not so much about feelings, but how free are you to be yourself, to be you? How free are you to become you, the you that God knows you to be? How free are you? Just that general question. And then on the side of that, of course, what enslaves you? What do you feel like you're dragged by? Remember those pictures I put up with all that weight? What's dragging you and keeping you back, weighing you down? Jesus invites us to take on his yoke, which is light. But we like our weight. What's enslaving you? What do you need to be freed from? These are hard questions. You're not going to solve them in 2 days, and certainly not in 4 years of college. And in fact, I would like to suggest that it's a lifelong journey, at least 40 years, right? Along the way, so think about things, burdens, thoughts, and feelings for tomorrow that you might want to be free from. Along the way, there are songs by, well, David Bailey and others that might help you digest these questions and your own answers, that deal with questions and doubts and uncertainties and failures in life, disappointments in life. He sang songs about Judas and Peter and Thomas last night, for instance. And we are invited in these songs to be honest with ourselves, to ask in the mirror, who are you? And not be afraid to say the truth. And we're going to be talking about this truth idea in a little bit. Okay. And the other idea from the song David Bailey sang yesterday on stage that I wanted to highlight was walking. And there are several songs that he sings that have to do with walking. And this is a very important concept in the Bible. I don't know if you've had this in your churches covered in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Okay? We'll get to that in just a little while. So I mentioned Calvin before. He begins his really big work called the Institutes of the Christian Religion. Now, you don't have to be a fan of Calvin or Presbyterian or anything to appreciate this. And he begins with, well, these kinds of questions. He says, oh, what kind of knowledge do we have? Or what kinds of knowledge are there? He says, there are only two, really. And they're really the same question, divided into two parts. One is, who is God, and who are we? You answer these things, you're set. Now, he takes two big volumes to answer that in a little bit. That's a little bit of a long answer. However, the question itself is very, very significant. So, who am I, what am I, and then if you watch Shrek, you know we're layers. We're all like ogres. There are layers, onions and layers, right? And we have layers of stuff and the conditioning. Remember the conditioning that I introduced you to, that we have all been conditioned. We are conditioned. It is human to be conditioned. That means we can't see well and so forth. And we have to start taking the layers off in order to see more clearly and recondition ourselves or be reconditioned by God's Spirit. Now, here's something I would like you to think about as part of the quest for knowing, talking about who you are or asking who you are. Now, this is something I learned over the years, and it's still working in me. I have not yet fully realized the potential, the dynamite power of this, but I tasted enough of it. I am a beloved, baptized child of God. Now, that might sound like old stuff, right? But this is an old trick that new dogs need to learn every day, especially on the down days, not so good days. I am a beloved, baptized child of God. Period. Then you could be Asian, yeah? You could be American, you could be Korean, you could be whatever. Now, I have to say, there's this movie called, I think, Sixth Sense. There's a boy who walks around the world, but he's very special. He could see dead people, and he tells, I see dead people. Have you seen this movie? It's a neat movie, yeah. And only he has this ability. He walks around and no one else could see, but he can see. He has those blue glasses on, I guess, right? He sees, I see dead people. And when I start to think like this and pray like this about who I am, and I, especially in church, I used to look around and I would think, I see beautiful people. Tall ones, short ones. The one sitting in my pew, I see beautiful people. Yeah? And it's amazing how this could change you and the world. Anyhow, now, you are not only beloved and baptized child of God. Whoa. That shouldn't be up there. One arrow at a time, maybe. Would that work? Right arrow? Nope. 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 Back? Oh, definitely not. No, whoa. Don't shock people today. Right. You want to get to the next one? All right, well, I'm going to read through this very quickly. It's supposed to kind of pop out at you one at a time, but here we go. You are amazing. Now, don't get a big head. All of you are amazing. We are all unique, right? A footnote before I get to this. Please work. All right. I think on the first day I may have misinformed you. The circumference of the Earth around the equator is... Oh, good. Wait a minute. We'll get there. Is about 25,000. 24,900 some. 25,000 miles around the circumference. So if I misinformed you and you're very upset and the whole week was thrown off because that was just wrong, I'm sorry. But I see beautiful people. It's great. You are amazing. Every year, did you know that you are 98% new? 98% of you is changed. This power that God has genetically, biologically built into you is at work, and we don't even know it. We lose skin all the time. We don't even know it. And I'm going to go through this very quickly. You don't have to memorize any of this. Just kind of drink it in to see how new you are every day and how active the power is in you working that you don't recognize, right? Every year, you emerge 98% new. By the time today is done, now you're going to feel tired, perhaps, hearing all this, but let's go through this. By the time today is done, you will have breathed 23,040 times. There we go, it's working. Digested about 3.25 pounds of food, some more, some less, yeah. Drunk and processed 3 quarts of liquid. Spoken some 4,800 words, some more, some fewer. The mouth is the first feature to form in an unborn baby. Did you know that? So we learn taste and texture before we have even swallowed food. As adults, we spend the equivalent of 10 days a year eating. 10 days straight eating and 55 days talking. By the end of the day, you will have moved more than 750 muscles. Exercised some 7 million brain as well as nerve cells. Some of us have more than others, okay? If all blood vessels in our circulatory system were lined up, they would stretch out to nearly 70,000 miles. Miles, folks. Your body is made up of some 100 trillion individual cells. 100 trillion. Your body temperature is kept amazingly constant at 38.6. Isn't that a miracle? Degrees Celsius, of course. Every cubic inch of your bone can withstand a 2-ton force. Did you know that you're that strong? Your bone structure is renewed every 3 months. Every 3 months, your bone is brand new. Your bones manufacture 1 billion, that's billion, red cells daily. Too bad it can't produce that many dollars daily. In children, half the entire skeleton is replaced, cell by cell, every year. Did you know how new you were? In 2 years, they have a whole new set of bones. 2 years. The process of renewal continues in adulthood. Adults, God's not done with us. But takes 5 times as long. We're just a little slower. After 35, bone density is reduced by around 0.2% a year. Most of us start shrinking after the age of 45. I'm getting there. Some 2.5 million red cells are replaced every second. Yeah, second. This effectively amounts to a natural transfusion every 2 weeks. Your brain has over 10 billion nerve cells and over trillions of different electrical circuits. We store a million, you think computers are amazing. We store 1 million items in the brain, everything from phone numbers to memories and feelings, some of us better than others. The average person has more than 100 billion brain cells at age 35. I guess I have fewer now. But from then on, we lose them at the rate of 7,000 a day. By the end of the day, oh, those over 35. But don't be too sad. You have a lot left. We lose them at a rate of 7,000 a day, or 2,555,000 a year. That's a lot of brain cells. Your brain, though more complex than that of a sophisticated computer, comfortably operates on the same amount of electricity, get this, that would light a 10-watt bulb. We're low maintenance. Yeah? Okay, some of us are lower maintenance than others. 75% of the human brain consists of water. Not mush, water. The brain is the most undeveloped organ of a newborn, and some might argue it continues that way. All the chromosomes of your body, this is all of us now, arranged from end to end, would form a line long enough to go up to the moon and come back. You ready? Up to the moon and back more than 8 times. That's 3,821 miles of distance covered by our chromosomes. That's in you, right now. Yeah. All the chromosomes, yeah? Your digestive tract, maybe you don't want to think about this right now, is 30 feet long from the mouth to the other end. 30 feet. That's in here. Your ears can distinguish more than 30,000 tones. You don't have to be a musician. Our eyes are always the same size from birth. Did you know that? But our nose and ears never stop growing, unfortunately. Now, every extra pound of fat, we're told, that we put on requires an extra 200 miles of capillaries. So I stopped eating so much. There are about 100,000 hairs on a human head, some more than others, yes. Each day we shed 200 hairs, adding up to 73,000 a year. That's how much we get rid of. Think of the 40 years. They grow 5 inches a year, and most last 2 years before falling out. During an average lifetime, the heart will pump 2.5 billion times without a break. No vacation. Your heart beats 72 times a minute, or some say 80 times a minute. That's 103,680 times every 24 hours. It pumps 4,320 gallons of blood through nearly 10,000 miles of blood vessels, supplying oxygen and nourishment to every cell in your body. Okay, I'll go through faster. Are the numbers catching up? Okay. And we produce 200 billion new red blood cells each day. I think I said that before. We also have a trillion white cells, which together weigh 2 pounds, and they fight infections. They fight infections for us and are constantly being renewed. Laid end to end, the lungs, 300 billion capillaries, would stretch for 1,400 miles. That's in just the lungs. It takes 43 muscles to frown, this is a good one, and just 16 to smile. So it's less work to smile. I tell my kids, rub off that frown, smile. 16 muscles to smile, 43 to frown. Think you know the back of your hand? Look at the back of your hand. Each 3/4 inch square of your skin, although only 1/20th of an inch thick, contains 9 feet of blood vessels, right here in that small square inch. There are 600 pain sensors right there too, 300 sweat glands, 9,000 nerve endings, 36 heat sensors, and 75 pressure sensors. You think creation, nature is amazing. Just sit by yourself, yeah? Your eyes blink 5 million times a year. I get tired thinking about that. Here's a good one. Your nose hair grows 1 inch a year. Start getting those snippers, okay? Adding up to 6 feet over the course of your life. 6 feet. Yeah. Laid end to end, the hairs could wrap 6 times around your head. Our kidneys help filter 50 gallons of fluid each day. 50 gallons each day, from which they produce 1.5 gallons of urine, or 125 gallons a year. We spend 2 full days a year on the toilet. Did you know that? 2 full days. I hope you have a good book. The average person, as wonderful as we are, takes 9,000 steps a day, some more than others, and some of you around the lake, yeah? That's 3,285,000 steps a year, or 1,456 miles, approximately. In a lifetime, that means we walk 155,000 miles, more than 4 times around the world. No wonder our feet sweat. Yeah. The 250,000 glands in a pair of feet excrete half a pint of moisture every day. Half a pint of moisture every day. You could probably drink it and quench your thirst. Now, all of that to get us to thinking about the dynamite power that is within us and God that is always at work even when we're asleep. So now, if the question is, who are you, what are you, and you answer, well, I'm this machine, this organism, this being, this creature, this existence that has all these numbers behind it. Is this really who I am? Is this the answer to who I am? I'm this heart, this lung, these lungs and so forth. One of the things I like to suggest is this, that our true, and this is when we really need to learn about freedom. It takes a long time to learn about freedom, by the way, to be free with ourselves. I'll explain that in a little bit. My own experiences, anyway. Our true and authentic self is not discovered by our soul searching. People used to say in my college days, oh, you know, I found myself, or I'm looking for myself. It made no sense to me. Everywhere I go, there I am. I never lost myself. So I never found myself. You know where I found myself? It was in God's Word. We don't find it through some soul searching. No, not through our efforts, whether it's in teenage years or midlife or in later stages of life. Not what we look for, but how we are found in Christ in the Scriptures. Our true authentic self is given as a gift in Christ. And that's one of the messages of baptism. We are found revealed in Scripture. And this is part of how we find ourselves. This is us. I know we weren't there. 40 years in the wilderness. And baptism, I put in quotation marks because it's not there in the text. But what the Israelites have to do, this Hebrew slave, have to go through water on dry land and emerge on the other side with a new leash on life. It is a baptism of sorts. And I wish in our Presbyterian churches, as other churches, we could go through water like that in a dramatic way when we were baptized. And then, of course, this leads to 40 years in the wilderness. That's our story. We are also walking with them, so that we are prepared and sent by God to bless all the families of the earth, Genesis 12 says. Now, it's a lengthy journey, for sure, but it's what is required of true faith. Free faith. Remember, I described that as the kind of freedom and faith that is totally reliant on God. It is a lesson that we are not done learning. In fact, as much as I've been a Christian all my life, yeah, I've had my stray moments. But I'm not done learning it yet. This freedom in Christ. Oh my goodness, that can't be true. So Jesus himself models that by going through 40 days in the wilderness. And he's also on the move. Did you know? He didn't sit still. He moved. He said, follow me. He didn't say, come to me and we'll sit together. Follow me. And he moved throughout Galilee, all over Galilee. And he prepared and sent his disciples as well into all the earth. So that the pattern is set in the Scriptures. Wilderness is required. You have to go through this. You have to be baptized into the mission of God. You have to die, literally and figuratively, to get to life. And slavery has to be left behind in order to be free. So, this brings us to today's material, which I'm afraid I have to lead into tomorrow's. There's a Jeopardy game in John. A question was asked by Pilate in chapter 18. What is truth? Jesus is standing in front of him. Pilate asks him, what is truth? And he forgot to read the gospel according to John, I suppose. The answer was already given in four chapters ago. Because the disciples asked him. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, and you all know this in 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's so much to say about this, and unfortunately I have to leave you hanging. But notice he said, I am the truth. Truth for Christians is not a set of doctrines or propositions or facts or knowledge about facts. It's a person. It's a being. He said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am. That's a very important thing to remember. I am the walrus, cuckoo-ca-choo. Jesus is the truth. He said that in chapter 14, and Pilate comes late and asks, what is truth? In front of him, you're supposed to laugh in chapter 18 because he's standing right in front of him. What is truth? He can't see. Jesus is perhaps smiling. Now, I would like to pick up on this tomorrow And I promise to be able to come to a sort of a closure of sorts. And I would like to impart to you ways in which we can, in fact, become a bit more free after this conference and a bit more alive to the baptismal life in Christ. Thanks for your attention.